I'm not texting, I'm setting an alarm. My name is Joshua Voris, I am an alcoholic. I have sobriety dates February 16th, 2011. I have a home group, it's 4544 Knuckleheads. I have a sponsor, his name is Jacob. He has a sponsor, his name is Cliff. He has a sponsor, I don't know that dude's name. I state those things because they were told to me that they're very important to get when I got here. Congratulations, 1 year. Man, when I took my 1 year, I thought I was going to curse up a storm. I stood up there in a nice shirt and was like, pull the book out and this is what I'm going to do, you know, because I couldn't formulate words. So congratulations. I completely agree with everything you said. There's a few others. Congratulations. Those are big deals. If you are new and you didn't identify, welcome home. I hope you find Alcoholics Anonymous what I've found here. Myra, thank you for driving me here and getting me here in one piece. She's a lovely lady. She's the nice side of me. Kristen, thank you for asking me to come up here and offer me a little bit of sobriety. All right, well, here we go. I got told that I'm going to be recorded, so I'm going to put in a little asterisk. I am not the spokesperson for Alcoholics Anonymous. Everything I state is my opinion, unless it comes directly out of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I do not have a copy of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in front of me. I do have one in front of me, a third edition at that. But it doesn't matter. I'm not going to do anything out of it anyways. So let's just get right to it. I curse a lot. I drank a lot. I did a bunch of things I don't remember a lot. This isn't my first go at this. I say my sobriety date is February 16, 2011. That is not when I got in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I actually don't initially remember the first time that I got in Alcoholics Anonymous because it went like this. When I was 12 years old, I found a bottle of Hot Damn sitting inside of my mom's cabinet that I watched her keep putting in and out of there. And I swear it was the same bottle she had for 12 years. And I said, all right, I'm going to do this. I've been warned that I'm an alcoholic. I've been warned that it runs in the family. And I've been warned that it's going to tear my family or it's going to tear my life apart if I do this. But I don't care. And so I took a nice big pull off that little tiny bottle, and it was the best sensation I ever felt in my life. I had arrived. I put that bottle back because I knew if I took another one that I was going to be hooked and that I was going to need it every day from then on. When I put that bottle back, I can tell you today where that bottle's at. We've moved like 15, 16 times since then. But I know for a fact she still has that bottle, and I know exactly where it's at, so it's that disappointing to me. But when that was happening, I was my best friend and I were both the most prescribed Ritalin cases in Ventura County, let alone in California. And so I have a touch of ADD, and so I drink a shit ton of coffee. And energy drinks, as most people who know me can attest, I typically always have one in my hand. And when I found this Hot Damn, I didn't need to take my Ritalin. I was calm, cool, and collected. And I had found something else that worked. It didn't necessarily calm me down or get me focused. I was just cool. You know what I mean? I didn't have to run a million miles an hour. And so that's the start of that. And now, let's just fast forward a little bit. So, I'm a high school dropout. I found out that in my freshman summer school, which means that I wasn't even in high school yet, that weed is very accommodating for people of my tenure, I guess you could say. You give me a little bit of weed, and next thing I don't have to take my Ritalin because I'm not hyperactive. I study. I do all kinds of things. I grow like a foot in like a year because I'm not taking my Ritalin. I'm not being held back. I find out that the cool people that were over there that nobody wanted to talk to, let alone the brainiacs who sat in the library with me because I was a straight-A student, they knew more about what was going on in the world than the brainiacs did who were sitting inside the library. I don't want to be with those people. They are cool as fuck. And so I went through the jocks first, and they're all dicks. You know, they were like, dude, bro, don't do it. We gotta go push some weights and wear little shorts and, you know, go hug on each other and run over each other. And I was like, that's not for me. So I went over with these dudes and I was like, you know, hey, what do I gotta do to click up? And they're like, oh, dude, just, you know, just take a little pull off this and you'll be all right. You're a little high strung. And, oh, man, I had arrived. I'll tell you what. So, failing summer school, but acing how to make bongs, roll joints, all this good stuff. I had arrived in this sector of humanness that I didn't know existed. I was with all the cool people, and I could fit in anywhere I went. I did no longer had to take my Ritalin. I was no longer that kid that got told that I needed to take a chill pill because, man, I was cool as a cucumber all the time. So I get into running my high school career, and I get placed in college prep classes. So like I said, I'm a bookworm. I get straight A's all the time. And in doing this, I get told that it'd be good if I start tutoring other students. And there's problems in doing so. But nonetheless, some of these students who were jocks, they couldn't smoke weed, so they drank instead because apparently weed is a drug, and we'll get to that a little bit later when it comes to me. And so they introduced me to things like Mickey's and Old English and scotch and whiskey and just these amazing things that made me cool. And in doing so, I went from having a very high GPA my first semester to having a very, very extremely low GPA my second semester. Needless to say, I got expelled my first year of high school. Imagine that. I went up to Montana. I went and lived with my father. It was amazingly horrible. He is a alcoholic of the best kind, and he taught me how to drink. He taught me how to work on cars. He taught me what I need to know in life. And, you know, it was a great time to be alive, you know, and, I'm kidding. Don't go to California, or don't go to Montana if you're from California, especially Southern California. They do not like you wearing shorts when it's 30 below. Because it's just a dry cold, man. It's not even that cold. And nonetheless, they don't have weed out there, and all they really do is drink beer and shoot guns, and that's not my kind of party. So, I like girls in bikinis. They don't have that out there. So, I ended up coming back to Ventura. I got offered to get back into the high school that I was in because my grade point average had gone up, my attendance in class was better, my overall demeanor was great. I learned how to drink properly while I was in Montana. It wasn't about just getting blacked out drunk. It was about sustaining the buzz from 8 p.m. till 3 a.m. instead of blacking out by 9 p.m. and then pissing yourself at 3 a.m. If that makes sense. And so I came back, got offered to get back in my high school that I got expelled from. I took that, and within 6 months, I was being told that I had to go to continuation school, and that instead of going to continuation school, I was going to do independent studies. In independent studies, I found out that there was this teacher that was awesome. She said, these are the books that you're going to have to do, and I said, great, and she looked at all of my credits, and she said, holy crap, how the hell is this going to work? I said, I don't know, but you guys screwed up by giving me this proficiency exam that says technically I'm already graduated. I found a loophole, and I didn't need your certificate, and I said, I'm good to go. You make $20,000 a year. I make $30,000. So I'm done with high school. And so I go to working, and I'm making a ton of cash, and I'm happy where I stand. I'm drinking, I'm smoking, I'm doing what I want to do. I get kicked out of my house. I go and live on some couches for a few decades. And, you know, I'm bouncing in and out of jobs, and I never really actually get a job where you have to put in an application for it. The last job that I had before, I had just got a job about a year ago that I had put in an application for, but it was like at Chuck E. Cheese or some shit like that when I was 15. With that happening, I found that the only way that I could really be around people is if they were like-minded like myself, which meant that I showed up with drugs and alcohol, and you let me sleep on your couch. And so that was my rent, and it transitioned very well until, you know, they got tired of me staying on their couch for years at a time, and they'd say, you know, hey, bro, you gotta go, or, hey, bro, you gotta go, or, get out. So I was 25, 26 years old, and I was working for this construction guy, general contractor, real militant type, and, He said to me one day, because he kept changing my pay schedule from being on a Friday to a Monday to a Tuesday. But what he's finding out was that if you pay me Friday, I don't come in Monday. So, or I'm broke by Monday. So he figured if he didn't pay me till Monday, then I would come in Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then he found out that I just would take the rest of the week off. So then he started paying me on Tuesday, which then I would come in Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Monday. And yet, no. He ended up one day saying, you know, what I got to have you do is I got to have you resign from your occupation here. And you're showing up smelling like a Jack Daniels brewery. And, you know, it was a little disheartening, because I work in construction, I build homes, and when you're being told by a general contractor that you are too drunk all the time to be doing construction, I think you've hit a bar that is hard to hit. So I proceeded to go and let my coworkers know that I was done. I was going to take a hiatus from this job and go get some other occupational references, as I like to call it, and in doing so, I got offered a job by my buddy. This buddy of mine, he didn't drink, but he liked to partake in other party favors, and he said, I want you to come meet my boss on Saturday, and this was like a Thursday, so Friday night, I was like, all right, we can go out, but I can't get drunk because I have a job interview in the morning. Makes sense, right? So I go out to the bar with a few of my friends, and lo and behold, I get into a small skirmish, and I show up to this job interview with a hanging left eye that's black, three broken ribs, and a blown out knee. And this guy who's interviewing me, it's his company, he goes, well, let me guess. He said, stand up, or he said, shut up, and you thought he said, stand up. And I said, that's right, something along those lines. Said, that's great. Is he okay? I said, no, he's in the hospital. He broke his hand on my face, the idiot. And, you know, I kind of laughed a little bit. And he goes, you know what? You're going to work out perfectly here. So Wednesday, I get arrested because we're leaving the job smoking weed. And apparently, sheriffs really don't like that when you're doing that kind of stuff. And Friday, when I get released and I show up to see if I still have a job, he goes, well, you're the first employee to ever get arrested in their first week here. Perfect. You're right on par for what we expect out of you. Apparently, my reputation had preceded me. And so 6 months down the road, I'm having my supervisor come into my house, shake me awake because I'm not showing up for work. I'm being told by the boss that you need to take a few days off because I can't have you showing up smelling like Jack Daniels every day. And then this one particular day, he says, go home. Don't come back. I'll call you. So I waited patiently for a week, and he called me, and he said, come in, I need to talk to you. I said, all right, cool, you know, I grab my tools, I come in. He goes, oh, you didn't need to bring your tools. I was like, oh, that kind of sucks. And he goes, come on in here, I want to talk to you in my office. And so I walked in, I sat down, being the tough guy I am. I said, what's up, dude? And he said, I have a question for you, Josh. Do you think you're an alcoholic? And I knew the jig was up. I knew he didn't mean the type of alcoholic that could outdrink everybody in this room. I knew he meant, do you think that you are the type of alcoholic that can't stop drinking when he starts? Do you think that you're the type of alcoholic that cannot control and enjoy his alcohol? And when he asked me this question, these stupid little salt-flavored water droplet things fell out of my face, and I'm like, oh, God, I think so. And he said, well, the greatest thing is I know of a solution that works. It's worked for me. He had 7 years at the time. He said, what I want you to do is I want you to show up here at this time, Thursday, 5:30. I'm going to take you out to dinner with these guys, and you're going to get introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I had never heard of Alcoholics Anonymous besides in movies. So I had no idea about what it was about. I didn't know nothing about nothing. And so I was like, cool, you know, whatever, no big deal. And he goes, oh, and the other thing is I need you to have these little papers signed every meeting you go to. And I have to do 90 days of these things. I was like, cool, no big deal, done and done. Walked out of his office, this little paper, went over to my friend's house, told him what had happened, and he said, that sounds great. I said, fuck you. I don't know what you're talking about. He goes, oh, wait till my wife gets home and hears this. So she walks in and she goes, this is going to be the greatest thing for you. And I'm like, great, do you guys think I have a problem too? And they're like, oh, dude, you seriously have no idea how bad you really are. I don't know. So I show up for this Thursday night thing and he gives me a ride and I go and meet these egotistical pricks who do nothing but talk about how awesome they are and how awesome their lives are and how awesome their wives are and how awesome their kids are and how awesome their cars are and how awesome their businesses are. I have no ex-wife, no current wife, no kids, no house, no car. Well, I had a car, but it didn't really run that great and I didn't have a license to drive it. And I slept on people's couches. I think at this time I might have been getting ready to actually rent a room from a friend of mine who is my weed dealer. And so I walked into this meeting and I heard him state, you know, are there any newcomers here? Your lifeblood of Alcoholics Anonymous, welcome. Da, da, da. And I'm like, cool, my name's Josh, I'm an alcoholic. I did not understand the implications that meant. I was not telling you guys, come up and tell me, like, it's gonna be okay. I'm cool, thanks. And, so I do 7 meetings a week. It turns out that the girlfriend I had at the time is a heroin addict. I had no idea. No fucking clue. None. But she decided that she wanted to start. She was like, what she said was, if you go to these meetings and you don't drink, I'll go with you and I'll stop doing heroin. And I went, whoa, you're a heroin addict? Like, this news to me. My friends were like, yeah, dude, like, you're a little wrapped up in yourself. So, they told me when I got here that I loved myself more than anything else, and I still think it's true. So I'm supposed to do 90 meetings and in 90 days, and so I'm at about 60 days, and for some odd reason I didn't drink. And this guy was like, hey, I'm going to be your sponsor. And they had given me a big book. And, like, I read this thing over and over and over. And I knew it better than you. I'd go to book studies. I could quote the hell out of it. I told you guys everything you wanted to hear just to leave me alone. Like, I'm good. I wasn't seeking God. I wasn't seeking a sponsor. I wasn't trying to do no step work. I got this. I hadn't had a drink in 60-something days. I'm totally cool. This dude walks up and he's like, I want to sponsor you. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not gay. And I didn't understand. So I go to another meeting. They're talking about sponsor this, sponsor that. And I'm like, this seems kind of weird. I'm not getting a sponsor. I know the book better than you guys. I'm good. So now let's roll forward. Day 94. I am in my buddy's garage who said, well, yeah, you know, this is the best thing that's probably going to happen to you. His wife is there, and he goes, hey, bro, want a beer? And his wife looks at him like, you're a dick, dude. I haven't had a drink in 90-something days. I've been smoking weed and taking acid and, you know, a few Vicodins here and there, but, I mean, it's not against the traditions, right? I didn't know. Nobody told me, and they did. I didn't care. So I get this phone call from my mother stating that I wasn't drinking. And I get a phone call from my mother stating that my uncle had died. And he's my favorite uncle. I had a moniker. It was Birdie. His moniker was Crow. Like, we're really, really, really tight. And I don't understand what's happened. He's the only person in the family that I talk to on a weekly basis. Whenever I need anything or I'm down and out, I can go to his place. He's just that uncle. He's just a cool fucking uncle, man. And he dies. So I walk back in and I'm like, I don't know what to do because I'm not working a program. I don't have a sponsor. I don't care. I don't have God. And I walk in and I see it. And I go, fucking A right. Crack, boom, let's do this. And oh, I failed to mention this little part. So remember how I said that I was possibly going to rent this room? Well, while I was at a poker game at this house, this dude was over and he was like, hey, you seem like a really cool dude. Let's get a house. And so we rented a house, a 1,600 square foot two-car garage with a backyard, front yard, the everything house. I had a house. Oh, I got a car. I'm paying on my license. My girlfriend and I have a great relationship. They love me at work. I'm making it to work every day on time. I have more tools than I know what to do with. I'm great at my craft. Everything is going so well. I have brand new outfits. I'm shiny. Guys, ever seen that Mad Max movie where they spray the spray paint and they go chrome? I literally felt that way all the time. It's just amazing. And like I said, I didn't do a damn thing. And day 94, I get this news. I crack open the beer. I show up at the house with an 18-pack. And my roommate was like, cool, I finally get to drink with you. What? Oh, you went and bought some beer too? So, no, you brought an 18-pack. I was like, oh, no, you don't know about me. And he went, oh, no. 3 weeks later, he moved out. He moved down south to Menifee. And, apparently I was a little out of control. I go full bore. So let me give you a little bit of a detail of how I like to drink. My typical quotas start with is a 30-pack and a fifth of Jack Daniels. That's how I like to roll on a Tuesday night. So I'm off and running again, and I'm showing up to work just hammered. I don't drink during the day, but I am showing up screwed up, and this boss, he goes, you know, this is getting out of control. And I looked at him and I said, you remember that contract you had me sign? Let's sign a new one that says you don't get to interrupt my drinking, da 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 da. And he goes, I thought everything was going good. And I said, it was, but I have to drink. I have to have a drink. And he said, I get it. I went in and out for 12 years. I completely understand what you're going through. I get it. So, 3 months later, he said, you're fired. So on to seeking out bigger and better things I went. I went through about 3 more jobs. I all sorts of good stuff happened. This was 2007. Let's just go ahead and fast forward. You know, guys don't need to know all the little intricate details about all that stuff. The end of 2010, I get a phone call stating that this dude that I knew that had taken my position at that company had died of a massive heart failure. So I called up my old employer and I said, hey, it was January 4th, 2011. I called him up and said, hey, can I have my job back? And he said, no. So I came in and I set up an appointment with his secretary to talk with him, and it's January 5th, 2011, yeah, and it was a Tuesday, and so I set up an appointment to be there at 3:45 in the afternoon, And I'm at my buddy's house, and I'm on his lawn drinking beers with him, and we're finishing our tall boy, you know, and I go, hey, bro, I'm going to go to the store and get some more beer. And he goes, no, I have a job interview, and so do you, and I think you're late for it, because it's 4:15, you told me it's supposed to be at 3:45, and I didn't understand when he said, no, I have a job interview, like, didn't make sense, we're drinking now, why are we stopping? And so I sat down, I said, fuck it, I didn't go get more beer. I went down to my job interview, I rode my bicycle with my trailer attached to it that had my tent in it, and my duffel bags, and my dog, and, you know, and showed up, and was like, hey, so, can I have my job back? And said, I told you no on the phone, and now that I see you, no. He said, why don't you sit down, I want to have a few words with you. And I was like, oh, great, here we go again with this crap, you know. But I'm thinking in my head, maybe I can manipulate him into giving me my job back, maybe, you know, just a little bit of work. And he goes, look, bro, do you need 20 bucks? Because if so, I'll give you some money so you can go out and get drunk. Or you can take a look at your life and see if it's manageable enough yet. Are you ready to do something about this? And I said, I don't know what you're talking about, Pat. And he said, look behind you. I look behind me. I said, what? He goes, that's your home. That's your transportation. That's your dog's home. What are you doing? Is this where you want to be? You're 30 years old. Is this really, really where you want to be? And he said, oh, yeah, and on top of it, you've drank yourself into horrible, horrible diabetes. You're green and yellow. You're dying. You're gonna die. You're homeless. You live in a tent. I don't know what to tell you. And I said, you know, fine. I agree. My life's unmanageable. It's not where I want it to be. Because when you asked, is this where you want it to be? And is this where you think that it was going to go? I understood that. And I said, no, I want to do something about this, and I don't want the $20. I don't need your money. I was already begging for money outside of fast food restaurants to feed my dog. I didn't care about feeding myself. I have this beautiful little Jack Russell, and she's my life. And he said, well, I'm going to ask you to do, Josh, I want you to be here Thursday at 5:30, and I'm going to take you out to dinner. I'm going to let you meet these guys. And I swear I'd heard this before. And what I didn't tell you guys, I had gotten this big book of Alcoholics Anonymous that I read a bunch of times. I gave it to my neighbor. And he was like, wow, really? You have one of these? And I literally had forgotten about Alcoholics Anonymous existing. And so I went and I set up my tent. And, you know, I don't know why it is that I haven't had a drink since that day. And I showed up on Thursday, I went to dinner, I heard these arrogant, ignorant pricks talk about how great their lives are, and their wives are, and their houses, and their businesses, and their cars, and I didn't care about those things. What I heard was, I've been sober for 25 years, I've been sober for 10 years, I've been sober for, fuck, how much time did he have? These guys had just multiple decades, and I mean, they were pricks, but they were pricks because I saw them as being so, because they had all this time, and they were, what's that word? No, they had done, they had done good things with their lives, so there's like, accomplished? Yeah, they were accomplished. They had like graduated high school and college and like started businesses and all kinds of good stuff, and so with that said, went to the meeting, and I introduced myself as being a newcomer. So my name is Joshua Vorse. I'm an alcoholic, and I'm here, and I don't know what I'm doing here. And they're like, yay, we're glad you're here. And I'll shut up. And I was like, cool, I can do that. And this is a men's stag meeting, and after it was said and done, this guy walked up, and he's like, hi, my name's Danny, and da-da-da-da-da, and this is Bill, and Bill, this is Josh, and Josh, he's your sponsor, and Bill, this is your sponsee. And I looked at the guy, and I said, you've got 9 months, you are screwed. Like, I know way more about the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous than you will ever know. And he looked me dead in the face and said, you don't know how to find God. You got me trumped. You have got me trumped. I have no clue. And so what he did was he didn't worry about the semantics of the book. He had me run down through the steps, looking at where was I selfish and self-centered versus where was I God-reliant, do some inventories. I told this guy a bunch of stuff in an inventory about what was going on. Afterwards, he said, you know, is there anything you're not telling me, or is there a resentment you're not writing down? I said, oh, yeah. He said, well, how long are you going to hold on to that one? I said, yeah, as long as I want to. He said, cool. Well, I hope you get over it or ask God to remove it before it gets you drunk. Mm-hmm. I said, I got it. I got this under control. I'm good. And he said, well, you know, God's got a sense of humor, and especially yours. Woohoo! All right. I want to get sober real quick here. And what happened is, this guy who I had this resentment with, he was my old roommate. He was now sleeping with my then ex-girlfriend, and I was pretty pissed off about it. Well, somehow he got a job working next to me, so now I got to deal with him. I'm doing a lot of commitments inside of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm attending 9 meetings a week. I have 14 commitments. I'm doing big things. Oh, and I failed to mention this. This is why this whole weed thing was funny. I moved into a sober living home. And like I said, I haven't had a drink since January 5th, 2011. When I moved into a sober living home, because my buddy didn't want me sleeping on his couch anymore, they asked me this question. They said, do you have any drugs in your system? And I said, no. And they said, even weed? And I looked her dead in the face and said, weed is not a drug. She pulled this drug test out and said, see how it says THC on it? That's what's inside of weed. That's what gets you high. That's a drug. So do you have this in your system? I said, yes. And she said, well, are you still smoking? And I said, not today. And she said, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to give you 30 days, and if you don't piss clean in 30 days, we're going to have to ask you to move out. And I said, no big deal. So day 36 rolls around. I'm like, are you guys ever going to test me? And they're like, oh, no, you're far too angry for to be smoking weed, so you're good, thanks. And, you know, I knew something was going good in my life. So I got this dude working next to me that I got a resentment against, and then she starts showing up at meetings. And I better figure this out real quick, because I will drink over it. It says resentment is the number one offender. I truly believe so. So I go back to my sponsor, and I work some stuff out, and I figure out that I'm a self-righteous prick, and that I should think I should be able to control everything and everyone and everything. But I'm God, and I'm not. And in doing so, it was amazing to watch that resentment just disintegrate in front of my eyes. And show these people love and compassion and actually give a shit. And so, let's fast forward. I started sponsoring when I had like 90-something days. Because you guys didn't lie to me. You guys pointed out in the big book where it says that there's only one thing that so much ensures immunity against drinking, and that's intensive work with another alcoholic. It works when all other activities fail. This first sponsor I had looked at me and said, that includes praying. And it then says, this is our 12th suggestion, carry this message to other alcoholics. And I went, cool, I can do that. And so when people walked up and said, will you sponsor me? I said, sure, but I'm a prick. And they said, we know. We're good with it. Frothy emotional appeal isn't going to suffice for me. I'm the type of guy or the type of gal that likes to just burn everything down and I'll probably die. So, yeah, let's hear what you got. I ended up moving out of that sober living home, but we started a meeting there. We did a lot there. We got involved with young people because I care, but I don't. I'm a selfish, self-centered prick. I will tell you right now that if you are not doing this thing and you die because of it, I don't. I get to learn a valuable lesson. I buried 18 people in a year and a half or something like that. I was fortunate enough to where I had this huge resentment against my father. And one day I get a phone call stating that he's sick and that he's probably going to die. So I went and talked to a few people, and they were like, well, actually my old boss, and he said, well, let's put you on a plane right now. Send your ass out there. So I got to go out there. I got to spend one Father's Day with him on his deathbed and fly back to California right afterwards. So a lot of people talked about God tonight, and I'm a huge God guy. If you're new and you don't understand what we mean by that, I mean that God has done for me what I can't do for myself. I never came in with the expectation that I'd stay sober. I didn't even wake up with the expectation I'd be sober today. I have done a little bit of work, and I believe that God puts things in front of me so that I can better help his children in any way that I possibly can. So, needless to say, I go out to this place in Montana, and I'm looking for the central office or the Alano Club or anything like that, because I'm 1,450 miles away from my home group. And it turns out it's supposed to be right in the parking lot of this hotel, and it's not. So I call up central office, and they're like, well, we're 350 miles away from you, and we don't know of any meetings that are out there. I'm like, cool. Well, what I didn't tell you guys is I walked to every single meeting that I went to for my first year and a half. I didn't have a driver's license. I worked very hard to get it back. And so while I was out there, I said, well, let's try something. Let's go walk around. Walk downtown, walk Main Street, go pop in here, go, oh, hey, look, this place looks seedy as shit. Let's walk in here. What do you know? A directory. Cool. All right. Where's this address? Hey, Surrey. How do I get here? It's a mile and a half walk. Cool. Do, 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 do. I don't know where the hell I'm at. I'm in the middle of Montana. You're funny. And I walk into the Solano Club, and I swear I know everybody there. I swear I know everybody there. I walk in, I'm like, hi, I'm Josh, and I'm an alcoholic from Ventura. I got on my home group shirt, and, you know, we're a bunch of tough guys, and we make shirts and stuff, and I introduce myself, and I'm like, how much time you guys got? And they're like, 90 days. I'm like, cool, this is amazing. Where are the great groups around here? And so they tell me about this meeting that's later on. I tell them about how I'm in Young People's, and I go to this Young People's meeting that they have there, and I swear, I'm there. Like, there's a dude there that is just like me. There's a dude that acts just like Jersey acts. There's this dude that acts like this other dude. And I'm like, this is amazing. I'm just going to sit back and watch the show, you know. And I heard this guy share that he was new. And I heard this other guy share that he was struggling. And he had like a year and a half. So after the meeting, I'm a watcher. And I'm watching this guy. His name was Sean. He had 6 days. And I watched Sean just stand over here while you guys were all over there. And he doesn't know what to say. So you guys did it to me when I walked up. You guys walked up and said, hi, welcome. I walked up to him and said, hi, I'm Josh. I said, hi, I'm Sean. So how many days you got? And he said, 6. I said, that's great, Sean. You want to get 7? He said, yeah. I said, you know that dude that shared that he was struggling? He said, yeah. I said, go walk up to him and ask him to sponsor you. So are you serious? I said, I'm dead serious. He said, you're not even from here. I said, I know. But he just gave me like 24 hours of sobriety, dude. And so I showed up 2 days later to that same meeting, and they're sitting there working out of the book together. And I walked up to the dude with a year and a half and said, how you doing? He said, dude, I'm doing so good, man. I haven't thought about a drink since the last time I was here, like that you were here, and I'm working with this dude, and that's amazing. I walked up to this dude, Sean, and I said, Sean, how are you, man? He's like, oh, I'm super fantastic. I got 8 days today, Josh. He's like, that's amazing, dude. I hope I get to meet you again. Said, thank you. Thank you so much for giving me the courage to be able to walk up to somebody and ask them to sponsor me. I like to say, click the fuck up when you get around here. We don't do this by ourselves. I don't like a lot of people, and Myra attests to that. I walk in every day saying how much I hate people, but in Alcoholics Anonymous, I love everybody. Doesn't mean I have to like you. It just means I have to love you. And you know, and what's funny is I'm sitting inside of my home group not that long ago, and this guy walks in who I look up to, and he's telling me about how he went to Montana, and he went to some meetings out there. And I was like, hey, while you're out there, did you happen to go to those Young People's? He's like, yeah. I was like, was there a dude there named Sean? He's like, yeah, he just took a couple years or something like that. And you know, I get to sit there and thank God that this thing that we have from 80 years ago gets to trickle down. And it's not watered down. It's not fed some bullshit. It's if you put in the work, you'll receive the benefits. On a constant daily basis, I thank God that I'm an alcoholic. I look for when I harm others. And if I do, I go and I make amends for it. I don't apologize. I actually ask, what can I do to make this right? Because I'm a dick and I do certain things. And then when it's all said and done, I go and I help somebody else do it. And it seems to keep me sober. So when I do those kinds of things, I get told that it gives me immunity from drinking. I'm on my third sponsor now. I rarely talk to him. He got married. He's kind of busy, and I don't like to call him because he says things like, "Where are you with God? What are you doing for somebody else?" But what this man did while I was in Montana is he called me, and I answered my phone. I said, "Why are you calling me?" He said, "Because you're in a hotel room 1,450 miles away from your home group by yourself. I want to make sure you're okay." I said, "Yeah, I'm trying to get a hold of central office so I can go to a meeting." He said, "Okay, cool. Where are you with God?" I said, "I think I'm right here." And it's dead on the other end. I'm like, "Hello?" Look, and he had hung up. I called him back. I said, "I don't mean I'm God." He's all, no, I got that. I totally got that. I was trying to let you finish off your phone call of getting a hold of central office." And, you know, that dude has helped save my life. I'm going to tell you one last story, and then I'm going to call it. I was sitting in the backyard of that sober living home that I went to, and I just got done working with the sponsee, and I heard a knock at the door, so I went and answered it. And this guy is standing there. He's got his big book tucked underneath his arm. And he said, "Hey, is Bo here?" I said, "Bo is here." He goes, "Cool, man. Can you get him for me?" I said, "Why don't you come in? Go out back. I'll go holler at Bo real quick." And now, Bo is the sponsee of my sponsee. And it turns out that this guy was his sponsee. I got to sit there and watch as one of the guys that I had taken through the books, guy that he had taken through the book, was taking another guy through the book. That's amazing to me. That's not anything I planned on doing. That's something that I feel that my higher power has done for me. If you ever feel that you need to drink, please pull out a directory. Call central office, ask them to put you in touch with somebody who is struggling. Because the only way that we save our ass is by helping somebody else save their own ass. Thanks for having me out tonight, guys.